Once upon a time, there was a man who was minding his business and going about his day when he heard an audible voice say to him, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Then the man answered, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." But that voice insisted and replied, "Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you." And it did not end there. This man now had a physical encounter with his voice, and it was not just the voice he heard any longer, but a hand that came forth and touched his mouth, adding, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." After this, the young man's eyes suddenly opened and he had his very first prophetic vision that simultaneously acted as his assignment to the nation of Israel as an elected prophet of God. This young man's name was Jeremiah, and that voice was Yahweh's voice, the Lord of hosts. This story is a story of a true prophetic call. There are similar stories in the Bible that were recorded for us to know and to see how Yah calls his prophets. Samuel is also an example of someone who heard a similar voice. He did confuse it with Eli's voice a few times, but caught up soon enough. Ezekiel had a full-blown vision of God's appearance with whirlwinds, noise of armies, burning fires, four-headed winged creatures, and more. Moses, on the other hand, had a direct flames of fire in the bush encounter with the Lord, and not just hearing a voice or having a vision. Isaiah's experience was different. This man had reached a relationship with Yah that made him ascend spiritually until he was able to overhear the Lord asking his divine counsel in heaven who he shall send to be his messenger. Isaiah responded to this call then and there and began his ministry as an elected prophet of God. It is obviously the Lord who put him there so that he could be in the right place at the right time. So how come our quote prophets today get their prophetic calls by kneeling in front of strange men, getting hands laid on them, exchanging swords, coats, necklaces, and laying on the floor in front of men, on the pulpit? What is this whole circus about? Today's Little John books a seat for some popular man of God spiritual retreat and returns 3 days later calling himself Prophet John. And just like that, his TikTok, YouTube, and all the other social media channels are launched and the ministry is ready to go. Oh, let's talk about Brother Joseph, who booked a one-week trip to America and suddenly returned with a doctorate in theology. Now you can call him Dr. Prophet Apostle Bishop Joseph. But unlike Prophet John, Brother Joseph, oh, my apologies, silly me. Dr. Prophet Apostle Bishop Joseph, already prepared all the social media channels, including a robust business plan, and was ready. He was ready, just waiting for the right titles to be added to his name. And at last, the highly anointed, all-in-one man of God is ready to minister to God's people. Hallelujah. Church, who are we mocking? Israel, who are we deceiving? Galatians 6 verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." So what are we reaping? What is the church reaping? The church is reaping darkness and witchcraft and sorcery. The church is reaping sickness and death. That is what we are reaping, because that is what we sowed. Please hear what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say about this topic. He is Yahweh, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the beginning and the end, the only one who calls his true prophets into their office, and the only one who is qualified to do so. Thus says the Lord. Only one out of 10 of your so-called prophets are true prophets who received my call, who were elected, set apart, and trained for their work. And out of that tenth of true prophets, only half have proven faithful. The other half are now prophets of Baal. Lovie Elias is one of those prophets. He prophesies for Jezebel, Leviathan, and Baphomet. This is the end of the Lord's statement on this topic. And I would like for us to just pause here for a second and let that sink. The Lord is saying that one out of 10 of the prophets we see today in the church are true prophets. And within that tenth, which is already a very small portion, half of them have turned their backs on him. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Church, what a tragedy. Before we continue with the teaching and the prophecy, I would like to welcome you to the Fruit Factory. This ministry is a call to true Israel and the End Times Church. I'm saying true Israel because the current Israel that is posted out there in the Middle East is not the Israel of the Bible. The Lord does not recognize them. They are imposters, and they are they who our Lord Jesus Christ called the synagogue of Satan. He said he knows of them, the synagogue of Satan, who are of the synagogue of Satan, who pretend to be Jews, but who are not. This, this was written 2,000 years ago. He knew about them. He knew we would be living in such a time as this, the end times, when these people will be standing up there calling themselves Jews when they never were, and they actually serve Satan. What is a synagogue? What happens in a synagogue? Worship happens in a synagogue. So they are devil worshippers. Prayer happens in a synagogue. So they pray to Satan. Fellowship with the Lord. Who is their Lord? Satan is. Satan is their Lord. It is not Jesus Christ. It is not Yahweh. It is Satan. It is time for the world to realize this. And more on this is coming, because these people are going to be obliterated from the surface of the earth. The Lord has prophesied it to me, and I am going to be publishing it on this platform in the right time. But this is just a little overview. Within a few, by the time the Lord is done with them, there will be no such thing as Ashkenazi Jews. You heard it here. You heard it here. The Fruit Factory is a prophecy and teaching ministry helmed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I am Elvira, the Lord's servant for this work that I do with my whole heart. And you are welcome to this platform. I welcome you here. We have a website, which is our primary place of publication, that you can access at thefruitfactory.co. I highly recommend that you go to the website. Much or most of what I'm talking about here, the core prophecies and so forth, will be published there first. So if you want to read those words for yourself before coming to the audios, or just to know what is it that the Lord is saying, please do so. I highly, highly encourage you to do so. We also have a podcast channel on most podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, Audible, and others. We have a YouTube channel as well. All the links to these different resources are in the description. There is always going to be information in the description. So I highly encourage you to always be looking down there for additional scriptures, for specific things that the Lord may be telling me to post later on after I finish recording this. So it will be in the description. And I would also like to encourage you to subscribe if you want to watch out for those prophecies that will be coming, more teachings like this one, more revelation from the Lord. But it is only going to be useful for you if you are serious about making the necessary changes in your life to truly follow and bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord told me from the beginning that this ministry will not be high in numbers because it is for those who are willing to pay the price of fruitfulness. So I am less worried about the quantity than I am about the quality. If you will desert our Lord and just go back to your regular life after he took time, effort, energy, bringing this word to you, please do not subscribe. And I mean this. I am after the true lovers of God. And that is what he, the Lord, has bestowed upon me to train his people, to train and prepare a robust people for him. So if this is not you, you don't have to. I don't even want the subscription. Maybe as you listen, if the Lord touches your heart, then you will commit to him. And then it would be a wonderful thing for your own life because he is wonderful. There is nothing outside of him that makes any sense at all. Anyone tells you otherwise, they are deceiving you. Even your own heart will try to tell. He tells you that every day. The heart is deceptive. These Christians that rely on their what they feel in their chest to know if God is in something or not, you are deceived. That is why you keep making bad decision after bad decision, because you keep relying on the way that you feel in your chest. Does this thing give me peace? If I feel peace, then I know it is of the Lord. Lies. Who taught you that? Who taught you that? Which book in the Bible is that found in? The book of I Am My Own God, chapter 7, verse 1, that states, I shall test the Spirit of God by my heart and my emotions? Or is it the book of I follow false prophets and false teachers, chapter 3, verse 1, that states, if you are not at peace with it, then it is not God. Those are doctrines of devils. The Bible is clear that the heart deceives man. And that what defiles man is what comes out of his mouth, because it is from the heart that the mouth speaks. So if what you're speaking out of your heart is what defiles you, it means that your heart is defiled. So how are you going to rely on that heart to know the truth when the heart in question is defiled? Please, let's use logic. Please, let's use our brains, what is between these ears. Lord, I pray that the veil will be lifted off of your children's faces. That veil, the scales that fell off of your servant Paul's eyes, that he saw for the first time, he saw that your children will see, that the people who love you will see, Father. That is my prayer. So, to go back to today's prophecy, the Lord mentioned Lovie Elias, and I published a prophecy about him, a call to him for repentance, because he is going to die if he continues to do what he does. And you can listen to that. It's already been published. It is on the website. It is here on YouTube. It is in the podcast. You can listen to it. The Lord was very stern about that warning. The Lord's patience is running out. The time of the end is here already, and he has given us ample time to make the right decisions. He has reached a point where he is cutting off and burning up all the unfruitful branches that fill up the church buildings but are sterile. It is a time when the Lord is focusing on those who truly love him. And what is interesting is that there will be a vast fall off of believers from the current church. They will abandon the faith. They will. It is written, actually. It was already prophesied by Apostle Paul in his letter to Timothy, I believe. It is 1 Timothy. The first letter to Timothy. The Apostle Paul talks about this. That they will go and chase after people who will tell them things that their itching ears want to listen to instead of the truth. Isn't that the times that we're in? Isn't that that generation today, that you would rather listen to 500 motivational speeches about how God is not done with you? He is not done. Oh, Lord Jesus, he is not done with you. He will send his angels. My goodness. What about you humble yourself before him and you repent? How about that? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be wonderful? That will yield you more results with the Lord than all of this nonsense these men and women of God preach nowadays. So, whilst the current church empties itself, what will happen is that a very small remnant of people from different nations and backgrounds who may have never heard about God, never heard about Jesus Christ, until this time that the gospel is going to be preached through all nations and peoples, just like our Lord said. He said this. He said that he will return after the gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached to every man on earth. Then I will come back. That's what he said. So every person living on this planet will hear the gospel of the kingdom of God. They will hear that there is a Messiah that came to rescue them from the oppression of darkness and to adopt them into his kingdom of light so that they may live on this planet. They may live on this earth, shielded from all of the manipulation, the witchcraft, that they will be robust in their spirits, in their minds, in their bodies to withstand the oppression. That is the good news. The good news is when we are all done here, because you had Jesus in your life, you bear fruit for him because you soak him with all your will, all of your energy. You went after him. You held onto him. There is a reward for that. And that reward is in eternity. Can you believe that? There is the shielding and the protection that happens in this age where we are right now on the earth. And then there is another part of it, which is the most important part, that comes after all of this is done. It is a twofold blessing. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, because it's not. Things with the Lord are not easy, and he said so himself. You know, I've been saying he said so himself so many times just in the last 5 minutes, because this is what comes out of his mouth. When you read the Gospels, he talks about this. He said, not one of you who have abandoned houses, mothers, brothers, mother-in-laws, father-in-laws, that I will not repay him 100-fold of those houses and mothers and brothers and father-in-laws and mother-in-laws and sisters-in-laws and so forth with persecutions. That's the part that is not read in the church. They don't read, they don't finish the sentence, see? The sentence ends at with persecutions. This is the Lord that says, he who does not lose his life for me, he who is not willing to forfeit his parent if necessary, his siblings, if necessary, to follow me is not worthy of me. He who wants to protect his life, he who wants to save his life, will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. This is Matthew 10. I invite you all to go and read Matthew 10. Because he talks about all of this there. He talks about how you will be rejected. He talks about the fact that they hated him first. That it is enough for the servant to be at the same level as the master. The servant does not need to be higher than the master. He's saying, if Satan hated me, Satan who is their master, if he hated me, the servants of that master, they don't even need to be more wicked than him. They just need to be at the same level. Now imagine what they will do to you. They will hate you too. That is what he was saying. Which sermon does your prophet, what has he thought to you about that? Has he prepared you to be hated on? Has he prepared you for the resistance? Has he prepared you for you to be able to stand in the face of your parents, in the face of your siblings, and to tell them, if you are not going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then I cannot partake in your witchcraft. I will not partake in your witchcraft. Did they prepare you to be able to say that? Did they prepare you to be able to say, I am not taking the mark? Why is your entire family and friends vomit on you, yet you stand firmly in the Lord and you say, I am not partaking in the table of devils. I am not eating meals sacrificed to idols. Did your prophet, did your teacher, your preacher, your pastor prepare you for that? That is what all of this is supposed to be about. And those are the kind of people that the Lord is after. If you do not have a strong backbone, you will be swallowed up by the coming system. You are already seeing it. You are seeing its fruits everywhere that you look, on social media, in the news, in your neighborhood, at your workplace, in your own family. Some of you see the fruits of evil in your spouses, in your children, in your parents. You see it. You see it. You are not blind. You are just deceived. You have deceived yourself. And Satan has deceived you. But today the Lord says, it is time to lift the veil in the name of Jesus. The veil will be lifted that you may finally see and breathe and hear. As he speaks, you listen and you hear and you understand and you put it into practice. That is true Christianity. That is being a citizen of the kingdom of God. That is being an ambassador of Christ. That is being the Lord's royal priesthood, his holy nation. Those are all characteristics that we have been given in the Bible. So, the Lord himself told me this, that Christians will fall off, abandon the faith like flies getting sprayed with this insecticide. Flies just falling, whoosh, like a wave of quitting the faith. Jesus Christ also asked me to tell you that he desires for himself a people who will truly know him and who will bear abundant fruit for him. That is why this ministry exists. For fruit. It is all about the fruit. This is a factory for the production of good fruit. My job in all of this is to be extremely obedient and diligent in my delivery and proclamation of what Yah entrust me with. And the rest of the work, you will have to do it. You will have to deal with it. It will be between you and him, you and the Lord. And know that once you have heard the words that he has to say, you will be held accountable for what you did with it. You will be. He's going to tell you, you were on this video, this day. You heard what I told you through the mouth of my servant Elvira. What did you do with it? Well, you scrolled away and tapped on the video of the Super Bowl performance to watch. Or the video of whatever new celebrity has a new child. Those fake children that they manufacture in laboratories and then walk around as if they were human. Those fake children that they hire from families and then walk around as if this is my child, when most of them can't even have children. We will get to all of that in the food factory, because freedom comes with the knowledge of the truth. You cannot be free as long as you have lies in you. You cannot be free. So the Lord will root out those lies and expose darkness. That is also found in Matthew 10, by the way. I highly recommend reading that chapter. So, we were talking about the true prophetic call. And I'm coming to the prophecy that the Lord told me about this, the little revelation or the teaching that he gave me. Not a little one, actually. I repent for saying that. It was not little at all, because it was profound. So I was at this, It was not a conference. It was more of a camp. I was at a camp, a prayer camp, that was 10 days long. So for 10 days, we sat and sought the Lord and prayed for 10 hours. So it was 10 hours of prayer for 10 days. Very intense. The Lord moved mightily in that camp. And during the 3 days, the three last days of camp, something began to happen. But before I go into that, the Lord is just laying it on my heart to say this again. If you do not have the stomach to digest the truth, this place is not for you. Freedom is not for you. Heaven is not for you. And I will reiterate that it is 2024. And the Lord is returning very soon, sooner than his church realizes. I have been sent as a sounding trumpet, as the Lord's last call to his people before he wraps things up. If you do not double down on your spiritual cleansing from all the intoxication of the world and completely separate yourself from the lies and deceit that are dominant both outside and within the church, then please start counting the days to your final destination. And it is important to clarify that this destination will be where people drink hot lava, where they suffer and gnash their teeth eternally. This is the place otherwise known as hell. But really, this ministry is for those of us who do not want to barely make it to heaven, but to do so with abundant fruit to show the Lord. Fruit that is good and pleasing in his sight. Fruit that will book a VIP seat for us amongst the thrones that dwell with him. And for the record, that is the standard of this ministry. If that's you, then welcome. Get ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to prune you into his fruitful branch. And now, you have to know that pruning is not pleasant at all, but it is the only way that richer fruit can be produced. So let's do this. The Lord shared this prophecy titled The Call with me while I was at a prayer gathering with fellow believers. It was on August 4th, 2024. We were about 1,000 in number from many nations around the world. And it was a prayer camp of 10 hours of prayer a day for 10 days. And the call was given to me on the last day of this conference or this camp after 10 days of extensive soaking in the Lord's presence. So on this last day, Groups of believers were receiving impartation of gifts and blessings. They were getting commissioned to go out to the nations and do the Lord's work. This was done by the lead minister of the camp, a man of God who I greatly respect and who is undeniably highly anointed. This impartation exercise had been going on for about 3 days, the last 3 days of the camp. For a few minutes at the end of the day, the lead minister would speak words of blessings and laying of hands on a select amount of people to commission them for ministry. But he would also do so to the general assembly, just praying, calling upon the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and calling upon his anointing and his blessings upon us. So for these entire 3 days, each time that people were called to the altar, the Lord will ask me not to go. Actually, he told me at the beginning of the camp that I was not to go to the altar for any laying of hands or similar activities throughout the camp, that I did not need it. And he later explained to me why. The why of this will give you better understanding of the true prophet versus the false prophet. The Lord said that receiving blessings from spiritual authority is a wonderful thing, for which laying of hands is not necessary. Partaking in a minister's anointing is also a wonderful thing when that person is truly chosen and grounded in a holy life that is consecrated to the Lord and does not require laying of hands. Both of these were the limits to which I was to partake in what was happening at the camp when it came to that specific activity of, you know, impartation, essentially. So I remained seated where I was and felt greatly blessed by this man of God as he generously spoke life into all of us, and I knew that it was under the Lord's instruction. So it was vetted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. To understand this matter better, we have to understand the different terminologies and the context of this. The laying of hands is a direct impartation of what the person laying hands possesses as spiritual gifts, their calling, and commission in the kingdom of God. This act is a great thing to do when done under the Lord's instruction and within the confines of his will for both the people imparting and those receiving the impartation. The apostles did so to both believers and non-believers, and it is copiously documented in the book of Acts. In Acts 19, you can see this being done by Apostle Paul to the believers in Ephesus, so that they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit along with its gifts. Paul also laid hands on Timothy, his son in the faith, to, quote, fan into flame the gift of God, as documented in 2 Timothy 1. This could be required of ministers who do not hold one of the five main offices in the church. This is so that they can operate under an authority that can act as an umbrella for their ministry. Even within the fivefold offices of the church, which, just for the record, are prophets, pastors, teachers, apostles, and evangelists. So even within these five offices, some of them may need this. Pastors, for example, usually they take over existing churches. So this transfer, this impartation, this laying of hands is necessary because it is a transfer of authority. It is a transfer of commission. It is a transfer of assignment, essentially, for the purpose of this church. Even apostles could require this. Could, not always, but it could happen. If they're supposed to leave a church and go out and create new branches of that church, for example, or to go out and start new churches within the same assignment of their umbrella church or their original church, then that release into the ministry would be advised. And so it is also important to specify that impartation and commissioning by laying of hands should not be confused with passing a mantle. The passing of a mantle is a spiritual activity that is not limited to and does not require anyone to know that it even happened. Mantles are pre-assigned and they are very specific. And not every mantle is to be passed down. Whoever is supposed to continue the work that a previous worker on the Lord's field started will likely be told about it in his secret place, in his place of prayer, in his place of worship. He will be told about it by the Lord himself. He will not go and collect it in church. And by the way, I want to clarify that at the end of the day, the church belongs to Jesus Christ. So he can appoint whomever he desires and anoint and release them without needing to go through any man laying hands or giving their approval. The Lord has done so many times throughout the Bible. So, not every mantle is to be passed down. The person receiving a mantle from someone who has transitioned into eternity will likely get that directly from the Lord in a direct encounter, not by going and kneeling down in front of a man on a pulpit. And for ministries where the minister is still alive, the passing of a mantle is what is called succession, as simple as that. It happens very often with pastors of churches, as we discussed earlier. And in the case of prophets, these too can happen exceptionally. It is not the general situation. The general scenario is what was discussed at the beginning of this publication. But under specific instructions from the Lord, there could be a passing of a mantle that goes through a man. And even then, this person would have been elected by the Lord in advance. And the succession would be for the person to enter the calling or begin their training, or begin their work officially. This is what happened between the prophet Elijah and his protege, Elisha. It is God who told Elijah to make Elisha his successor. This is because a prophet is only a true prophet if God calls him. A prophet will always have an origin story. A prophet will always have personal encounters. A prophet will hear the Lord's voice audibly, without needing to be in prayer, without needing to be in worship. The prophet communicates with heaven persistently, without interruption, because they are chosen, because God puts his words in their mouths. You cannot claim to proclaim the word of God, to be his prophet, but you need to be in some spiritual experience to prophesy. No. You need to have fellowship with the Lord when you are his prophet. All the time. You live for him when you're a prophet. Your life does not matter. If the Lord needs you up at 2 a.m. to give you a word, you are up. If you're at work and he wants to talk to you, you talk. If you need to say to your boss, I need to go back home right now urgently for family reasons. He's your father. He's your family. Your father tells you go home, you go home. Your father tells you take time off because I need you. I need you over the next 2 days to do this or that for me. These are usually spiritual assignments. You will take the time off, even if it's not paid for, because you do not live for a job, nor do you live for money. You do not live for a salary. You live for God. So the case of Elisha is one where God chose him. Elijah did not choose Elisha. Elisha is not someone who came to church and decided to be anointed. Elisha is not someone who Elijah just put his hands on him, like, receive what I have. No, God chose him. And then God instructed Elijah to anoint him and to take him as his successor. And by being under service, under Elijah's mentorship, being his servant, this was the process that the Lord used to prepare Elisha. It is not a one-off come and I give you and I throw my coat on you and then you go back home and create a YouTube channel and call yourself Prophet, I don't know who, Paul. This is Prophet William bringing you the word of the Lord from the nation of the nations. They usually say things that do not make any sense. This is not something that I listen to. These are the things that the Lord reveals to me. I do not really use social media. I stay away from it because I know the effects it has in your spirit. And I cannot allow for intoxication in my spirit. What the Lord gives me must be pure. So I protect the things that enter my eyes and my ears very ferociously. So, brethren, let's open our spirits to the truth here. And let's stop destroying God's word and practicing witchcraft and calling it, I don't know what they call it. But they always have excuses for this stuff. Wicked stuff in the church. And there is always an explanation. An explanation that makes no sense. An explanation where they will use scripture and twist it and tell you, no, look, Elijah threw his coat on Elisha. My dear friend, God told Elijah. God told Elijah to anoint Elisha as his successor. Elijah did not create a crusade going around and throwing his coat on people. He did not. And the Lord has something to say about that. This is what the Lord says. Thus says the Lord. This trendy phenomenon of passing physical mantles, coats, on pulpits or in meetings, or people walking around with mantles and claiming mantles. This is a travesty of the Holy Spirit. That's the Lord's statement about this. Another thing that is coming to my mind as I type this, because I'm reading off of what I typed. Right now I'm speaking this out of what I published on the website. There are many places where the Holy Spirit interjects and makes me speak things that were not written because he wants to give additional information, which I'm not going to limit him or restrain him to do. But as I typed this originally, something came to mind. It came to my mind, this thing that they talk about Jesus Christ's baptism. baptism. The way today's corrupt church has used the act of Jesus Christ being baptized by John the Baptist as some laying of hands, passing of the mantle, or transfer of anointing doctrine, these two is a travesty to the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus was baptized. Baptism is not laying of hands. It is not passing the mantle. It is not getting anointing. But it is a legal process by which an individual who has repented of their old life and accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior is officiated into the kingdom of God, letting go of what is old and being born again into this family, the family of Christ. Baptism is a legal process in heaven. That is why it is a requirement for all believers in Jesus Christ, so that one can legalize their commitment to Christ. Once the baptism is done, a covenant is established. A covenant is a legally binding contract in the spiritual realm. In the same way that we can covenant ourselves to demons through sinful acts like sexual immorality, which is a blood covenant, we also get covenanted to the Lord Jesus Christ by giving up our old selves and receiving the cleansing of our sins by his blood that was shed on the cross. This is also a blood covenant. It is a blood covenant with the blood of Jesus. It is because of this covenant that we can claim to be righteous through Christ. And it is this covenant that gives us access to be qualified as sons and daughters of God. Without this covenant, we are just flesh walking around the earth, awaiting our ultimate doom. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ needed to do this so that it could be recorded in the legal archives of heaven that his ministry in the kingdom is officially beginning. And you know what happened after that. The Father recognized him as his son by speaking out of heaven. There were witnesses there. John heard this. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him so that he could go on and accomplish that for which he was sent. That is why John the Baptist was uncomfortable with the baptism. He knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was out of his league. He knew it. But it was a requirement, a legal process. It had nothing to do with anointing. Nothing to do with you must submit to authority or else you will die or else you will never get the God's anointing. Or else. These are manipulation tactics. You must not go and kneel before a man to be used by God. You must not go and lay before a man to be delivered of your demons, to receive healing from your sickness. All you need to do for that is to commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray to him. Learn to repent. Repentance is deliverance, if you did not know. Because repentance wipes your slate clean. And when your slate is wiped clean before the Lord, all of the afflictions that came with the sin are wiped clean. Some of you just need to take repentance fasting programs. You fast and you pray and you repent. You do so week after week, month after month. You will see your life transform. I am speaking out of experience. This thing, this manipulation in the church from these wizards is killing God's people and it needs to stop. They are not asking you to go and kneel before the Lord and repent and seek him and cleanse yourself of your sin and cleanse yourself of the affliction of sin, because the wages of sin is death. So when you sin, what do you think will happen to you? You are going to die, and the death begins with affliction, with sicknesses, with infirmities, with disorders, until before you know it, you are depressed, you are sick, you are losing your mind, you are poor, you are surrounded by violence, surrounded by evil and wickedness, you cannot think clearly, you cannot find a job, all your businesses fail. This is death. There is death in your life. Your health is death. You are sick. Your finances are death. There is no fruit. You have constant negative account. That is death. Your finances are dead. You understand? This is what the Bible says. The wages of sin is death. You divorce. Either you divorce or you're surrounded by divorces, or you can't even get married. Not that everybody needs to get married. There is no pressure about that. But you understand what I'm saying. You cannot conduct a healthy relationship. You always end up with people who abuse you. Your relationship, your heart, your soul is dead. That is why you are suffering. And what removes that death is repentance. You confess your sins and then you repent of them. You come to God and you say, Lord, I have been struggling in this relationship with this man who has been abusing me. First thing, you break up. Second thing, you repent of your fornication. Third thing, you ask the Lord to cleanse you with his blood and to change your thinking, to help you. Lord, please teach me about good, healthy relationships. Lord, please change my thinking. Lord, please reform my mind that I will not go and fall back into such relationship, because it is a cycle. This is relationship number seven. And the same things are happening to me, Father. There is definitely a problem. There is a problem. This is death. People live in agony in this world. You are listening to this. Maybe you are one of them. It is because you are not repenting. You are under judgment. When you do not repent, you get judged. That is the principle, because the Lord is a just judge. And he said that he will surely not let the guilty go free, but he will apply the judgment of the guilty to the third and the fourth generation. You are still being judged by what your parent did, because nobody in your family ever repented about it. You are divorcing. Your mom divorced. Your grandmother never even got married. Your sisters are divorcing. Your brother is divorcing. There is divorce. There is death in the family unit. Why? Because there is generational fornication and adultery in your family. You live with it like it's normal, but you are living sinful lives. So what is happening? The devil has sat. His throne is in your family. So your marriages and your families will never succeed. There is death in your family unit. How do you amend that? You amend it by repentance. You go on your knees, you take a fast, and you cry before the Lord. I'm saying cry out of sincerity of heart, not out of crocodile tears and drama. Not like that. You humble yourself and you go before the Lord and you say, Father, there is a problem. I have been acting as if this thing is working, but it is not. I am at relationship number 8, baby father number 3, and the same thing keeps happening to me. Father, I repent for my sexual perversion. I repent of the fornication. I repent of the profane sex acts. I repent of my homosexuality. I repent of having slept with that woman, being a woman. You start repenting and you repent. I repent of the anal sex. Yes, we are all adults here. Anal sex is demonic. It is. It is unnatural and demonic. It is not of God. And you all love it so much. You watch it on this porn. They have normalized it, and you take it on your marriage bed. You practice this with your husband, and then you wonder why your marriage is falling apart. You are under the judgment of death. That is why your marriage is dying. I am just taking the example here of sexual sin because it is the most prevalent and the most overlooked and the most detrimental to people's lives. Because through those sexual acts, if the Lord were to open your eyes and show you the things that have entered your body through all of the sex that you've had with strangers, in fornication, in adultery, and so forth, you would vomit. You would be depressed. The Lord has shown me. And I'm telling you, repent. Repent. The key is not laying of hands. It's not, I will go to the man of God that he prays for me. That is not the solution. The solution is humbling yourself before the Lord and repenting. So, I drifted a little bit out of the original message there because I believe the Lord had this to say in this message today. So to go back to what we were talking about, you can read about this experience of Jesus Christ and John the Baptist in Matthew 3, Mark 1, John 3, and Luke 1. In the four Gospels, it is documented there. And this is what the Lord has to say about this. Thus says the Lord, it is a travesty to think that God in the flesh would need a fallen man's anointing, his authority, his covering, his green light. He said his spiritual covering, his laying of hands or impartation of anything. If I needed that, then would I even qualify as God? You who love talking about logic, where is the logic in that? That is what the Lord has to say about that. I don't think I need to add anything to it. It explains itself very clearly, and it makes no sense to believe in such doctrines. None. And that is another thing you have to repent about. Believing in false doctrines, because it has intoxicated your spirit. And it is by repentance that that will be cleansed out of you. And by stopping to consume this filth, stop eating feces that these false teachers and false prophets feed you. And just for context, the word travesty that the Lord has been using means a grotesque imitation of something. It is a mockery, a parody, a debased, a distorted, or grossly inferior imitation of something. So when he says that it is a travesty of the Holy Spirit, then you understand what he's saying. He's saying they have deformed, distorted, they are debasing, and they are mocking the Holy Spirit. And these are the people that the church worships. And you know what happens to people who do that to the Holy Spirit. It is actually one of the unforgivable sins when you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. The Bible says so. If you have a problem with that, take it up with God. So I was at this prayer camp. There was laying of hands, impartation, and commissioning of ministers. And this is not the same when it comes to a true prophet, which is the core message of this prophecy, to understand the true calling of the prophet. I've been talking about the office of the prophet because there is a difference between being a chosen prophet of Yahweh and having a prophetic gift. A prophetic gift is a spiritual gift that anyone who has the Holy Spirit can benefit from if the Spirit releases this unto them, which he is at liberty to do so or not. The Bible says that every born-again believer should desire the prophetic gift. And I wholeheartedly agree. Well, I agree with everything the Bible says. So agreeing with this is easy. Every single one of us should seek the prophetic gift, especially in these end times, my friends. The Apostle Paul talks about this in his first letter to the Corinthian church. This is what he says. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 14, 1-5. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Please listen to me. Please listen to me. If in 2024 you cannot receive from the Lord hidden information and revelation, if you cannot see in the Spirit, if you cannot prepare yourself with crucial information about the future of your own life, your family, your church, your community, your city, your nation, and you do not have any spiritual insight into the truth of matters that concern you and your destiny, then you are bound to be swallowed up by the beast system. Read Revelation 13 for more on the beast system. It will not be addressed in this prophecy. We are living in an age of unprecedented deception, institutionalized deception. Millennia-old lies are what shape the fake reality of this world we live in. We must all be able to work in the prophetic gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can begin to start living a real and effective life, especially if we are to bear any fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the office of being a true prophet is something completely different. The simplest way I can put it is by saying that a true prophet is like Jesus Christ's personal media company. This company releases the testimony of Jesus Christ to the nations of the earth. This company could be a radio station, a book publisher, or a film and TV studio, depending on the form of communication used. And in these times, the prophet is probably going to be all three. For example, this ministry, we have a written blog, we have a podcast, and a YouTube channel. And the part that talks about it being written is very important. We will discuss that in the next prophecy about in this series. And by the way, the foundational scripture about this series is Micah chapter 3. I know many Christians do not read the Old Testament, but we are returning to the Old Testament. If there are books in the Testament you have not read, that you do not know what is happening in there, you need to go and read them illico presto. A true prophet is like Jesus Christ's news reporter with his satellite set up in heaven. A true prophet announces here on earth the things that are decided and happening in the heavens, sometimes 3 millennia ahead of their time, which was the case of the prophets of the Bible. What we see a majority of today's so-called prophets do in the church is at best having a prophetic gift and at worst divination and witchcraft. Yahweh wants you, his people, to know the difference. So with this context and background in place, I will now share with you what Yah told me on that afternoon of August 4th, 2024, when the last series of impartations and commissions were taking place in this camp. I will only share what is pertinent for this teaching and without references to my private matters. Thus says the Lord, you work for me and me only. You will not and you cannot answer to any man when it comes to the work I gave you. When I put my words in your mouth, you do not apologize for it, ever. You state what I said and you call it a day. If the person hearing you has a problem, if they think whatever they want to think about it, it is not your problem. Again, if they are bothered, then they should come to me. This thing of needing to be commissioned does not apply to my real prophets, because I commission them myself. I am the one who puts words in their mouths. Any man who claims to be their commissioner means that they receive their work and the green light from him and not from me, which cannot be with true prophets because they take from me directly to deliver to the people. This is where the Lord's original statement ended, but he decided to add more to it on August 9th. So that's 5 days later. And this is what he had to say. Thus says the Lord. Who laid hands on John the Baptist? Who laid hands on Isaiah? What about Malachi, Habakkuk, Haggai, or even Moses? Who laid hands on Jeremiah? Did I not tell Jeremiah that I had predestined him to be a prophet to the nations before he ever took a breath on this earth? This is the standard of my call to prophets. Prophets are always chosen before they are born, and they are always trained for their office in exponentially harsher ways than others in the fivefold ministry. So this nonsense of prophets popping up in the church like mushrooms is demonic. A true prophet would never do a tenth of the things your false prophets do, because I would have rotted it out of them beforehand through excruciating trials and tribulations. Ask John the Baptist about it. Ask Elijah, who spent years living on the rocks. This is how I train my true prophets. So the Lord is talking here about something that is lost in the church. Because either the church thinks prophets do not exist today, which is foolishness, because the Lord does not change. If he did it 1,000 years ago, he will do it today. If he did it 3,000 years, 4,000 years, if there was a Moses, then there will be a prophet today. And I wonder what that church who thinks this will do when the Lord will start raising up people, Moseses, Daniels, and so forth, of this generation, so that he can regather his people back to their holy land, to their promised land. What will that church say then? when the Ezras of this generation, who documented the rebuilding of the temple, when those are risen, are lifted up by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, what will that church say? They will all be eaten raw by their ignorance, won't they? What will that church say when the Davids of this generation will be lifted up by the Lord in his people Israel? What will they say? That it doesn't happen any longer? Will they deny reality? These are the people who you know what, let me just continue reading this thing, because this is not the time nor the place. Let's continue. I was about to go into something different that would have put us completely out of this topic, and we need to finish this topic. So the Lord is talking here about him rotting things out of the prophets, rotting it out. That means to beat something out of someone with a rod. That gives you a picture of what training. And the Lord talked about this also in the previous statement that I read here, where he said the following. He said that he trains, he chooses, and he trains his prophet. He chooses them before they are born. And then he prepares them, and then he trains them. Do your prophets get training? What is your training story? How do they just pop up out of nowhere on the internet, calling themselves names that do not belong to them, claiming things that are false? Even the fact that they do that shows you that they are not trained. They do not have reverence for God. They charge you for prophecies. The Lord will never charge you for a prophecy. They never paid anything to receive that prophecy. They cannot charge you for it. You can support them if you desire to. Their spiritual principles of giving, which brings prosperity, which brings financial blessing. The more you give, the more you receive. It is a principle in the Bible. Read the Proverbs. Read the book of Mark. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, running over, will be poured onto your lap. It is a principle in the kingdom of God to give generously, to give willingly, to give joyfully, but not to be coerced, not to be manipulated, not to be robbed of your possessions, of the things that the Lord entrusted you with, that you would use these resources to further his kingdom on this earth. And you're out there distributing it to wizards and witches. Let's open our eyes, my brethren. Open our eyes. It's time to lift the veil. It's time to wake up. There is no time left. You have to wake up now. 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 I read this earlier. I told you this earlier in this address. I am the last trumpet. The Lord told me this. Elvira, you are the last trumpet. And I am sending you to my people who I want to harvest as good fruit. That is who I am called to. So it will be very few of us here. But the good ones will stay. The good ones will pay the price of cutting anything that is not of the Lord Jesus Christ and throwing it where it belongs, in the trash. So let's finish this. All right, let's finish this. So that is what the Lord had to explain when it comes to his prophet. So think about which so-called prophets you see kneeling in front of men for laying of hands in your churches. Some even travel to different towns and countries for this. Well, the Lord Jesus does not recognize them as his true prophets. Some of them decided to start doing those things because they became wizards, even though they did have the original true prophetic call. They abandoned the Lord, and their witchcraft requires this practice for the transfer of satanic powers, talents, spirits, and demons. So no matter what these people tell you to try and justify this act to you, it is not what true prophets who speak the testimony of Jesus Christ do. As I type this, the Lord is showing me pictures of men rolling on the floor or lying on the floor in front of other men. Some of them call them their spiritual fathers. And to this I say, you should lay on the floor before no man, but only before the Lord God. This is profane worship. If your so-called prophet is doing this, please, my brother, my sister, run. And this is what the Lord has to say about it. Thus says the Lord. They call it respecting and honoring the man of God, but they are only teaching the church how to become idolatrous, how to become worshippers of other human beings, including teaching the church to worship them. This is what their demons ask of them. Yet this is what I, Yahweh, call wickedness. They are men of lawlessness. That's the end of the Lord's statement about this running, rolling on the floor. What is this? What are we doing? How can they convince you of the fact that this is normal? How? Can your eyes not see? Anyhow, there is great danger in being laid hands from people as a prophet, because whatever that person has, you will receive. And this will cause great pollution and intoxication of the spiritual well the Lord has placed inside of you. This well must be preserved and kept as pure as possible, so that you do not compromise the Lord's words that he entrusts you with. Failure to guard your spiritual purity will turn you into a witch or a diviner, because you would be working under the influence of the foreign spirits and gifts and different devils that were imparted unto you, which the Lord never intended for you to have. And most of the time, these are demonic spirits. And this is what is called witchcraft. So, there are a few things you must do today if you realize that you have been listening to false prophets, just from what we covered today. If you realize that there are people who do these things that the Lord has broken down for you, that you may be able to differentiate between the original and the counterfeit. Firstly, go and unsubscribe from all of their content and channels and stop listening to them. Secondly, you must repent before the Lord for following them, for accepting their doctrines of devils as the truth, and some of you for defending them. Thirdly, you must pray that the blood of Jesus cleanses you of all the uncleanness and defilement that you have inherited from being under their spiritual authority and from consuming their false doctrines. Let's not talk about all of the defilement that you have received from fellowshipping with their demonic spirits through your exposure to their content. Oh yes, demonic spirits will jump out of the screen and possess you. They will form strongholds around you, and they will call more and more spirits to keep you company. This happens because your eyes are gates. Your ears are gates. Your mouth is a gate. Your skin is a gate. They are gates. Gates to the soul. Gates to the spirit. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ said, take heed of what you hear. And what does the Lord also say? What does his word say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if faith comes by hearing, what are you hearing? What have you been listening to? What have you been consuming? Because he continues to say, and hearing by the word of God. So you believe in the word of God through faith by hearing the word of God. That is what that statement means. By reading it, by fellowshipping with it, by spending time in it. Because by through that process of exposing your gates, which are your eyes and your ears, and your mouth, by speaking the word of God, by reading it, by listening to it, you are, the more you do it, the more you believe it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more you do that, the more you hear. And the more you hear, the more you believe. So what have you been hearing? What have you been believing? What have your eyes been looking at? What have your ears been listening to? That is how faith is formed. And either you form faith in the Lord and his word, or you will form faith in idols. That is why a lot of you cannot reconcile with the fact that this person that you love so much on YouTube is a sorcerer, because you have faith in him and not in God. Why do you have faith in him and not in God? Because you've not been hearing God. You've been hearing his demons. You've been hearing what he has been telling you, not what God has been telling you. So you have attached your faith to this man or to this woman. And now you cannot detach yourself from it. A prophet of God must bring you closer to God, not to him. If you see yourself being crippled by inordinate affection with someone you don't even know, because you don't know them. They have turned themselves now into social media, reality TV stars. You don't know this man. You don't know this woman. You don't live with them. And even some people who live with them don't even know them. These people have double, triple, quadruple lives. They are snakes and serpents. So imagine the amount of time you spent there developing faith, developing it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Replace the word of God with the name of your false prophet. That is what you have been doing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Lovi Elias. I'm putting Lovi Elias here because he is the one that the Lord made me publish to seek repentance in the face of the Lord because of all of the wickedness he does. And he's blinding you. I have not looked at this man's content for 2 years. No, not 2 years, a year and a half. A year and a half. It began early 2023. That the Lord said, stop listening to him. And originally, when I discovered this man in 2022, I believe, I listened to a few of his teachings, and the Lord was fine with it, because I'm not one to spend too much time listening to other people's stuff. I don't have social media. And for I can spend extended amount of times without opening YouTube, without any of that. I know what it costs you. It costs you your mind. It costs you your faith in Jesus. It costs you your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am not willing to pay that price. The only prices I'm willing to pay is what will bring me closer to God. That's it. And so the Lord made me pray for this man, Lovie Elias, until the day that he made me publish that prophecy. And when I published it, the next day I was in prayer and I brought his name up to pray for him. The Lord let me pray for him. And then when I finished, he said, "Don't pray for him any longer. Stop praying for this man." That is what he told me. I don't remember when exactly that prophecy went out. I will have to check the date. I believe it was August 9th. Oh no, August. Yes, August 9th. I received it on August 8th and I published it on August 9th. And on August 10th, the Lord said, "Stop praying for him. This is a man who eats, who abuses children. He's in covenant with Leviathan." Leviathan is the authority, the principality that rules the marine kingdom, which is one of the most lethal and damaging satanic kingdoms to mankind. They're extremely powerful, mermaids and so forth. And people sit and watch The Little Mermaid. You are marrying Satan. You are sleeping with him when you consume that stuff. You are selling your currency, your spiritual currency. Your life will start just leaking and leaking. The more you do it, it just leaks. It leaks. Before you know it, you are depressed. You are sick. You are divorced. You are broke. You are dead. So please, first, unsubscribe from them and stop consuming their content. Second, repent before the Lord. And third, pray for cleansing by the blood of Jesus. That all of the filth will leave your body, your system, your spirit. And listening without acting upon the information you are getting will corrupt your spirit. Do not bury the Lord's truth and revelation, but use his revelation to draw closer to him. And failure to repent will be caused, failure to repent will be cause for judgment on the last day. I just thought I have to put it out there. You don't repent when you come before the Lord. He will not be able to look at you because you have not applied the cleansing of his blood. You are filthy before him. And he is a holy, perfect God who cannot look at sin. He will not even be able to look at you. He'll just take this one to the side. You know her destination. That is what will happen. So this was the prophecy called The Call from August 4th and August 9th. This is where it ends, my friends. But it is not the end of the teachings about true and false prophets in Israel. More is waiting down the pipeline. I encourage you to like this video or audio, depending on where you're listening, and to subscribe if this is the kind of truth you desire to hear more of. Listening is one thing. Acting upon what you listen to is another. You must do the latter. You are welcome to visit thefruitfactory.co and read The Lord's Proclamations to True Israel and the Church. He made me publish it there. And it may give you a bit more context about these end times that I've been talking about. I also highly recommend that you read about the basics of fruitfulness and the cost of fruitfulness. This is all on thefruitfactory.co. Even though I am sure that by the time I will publish this, I would have already recorded it to be published on the podcast and on the YouTube channel. So please look out for that. Basics and cost of fruitfulness. A paradigm shift must happen. And those two things will help you do that. Please share this resource with those you think would benefit from it. And those of your brothers and sisters in Christ who you believe would, they need to hear this. Thank you for listening here. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for being with me through this podcast, for listening till this point. I am Elvira, and this is the Fruit Factory. Jesus Christ is the one in charge here. This is a place where we exalt no one else and nothing else but Jesus Christ, and where we live to bear good fruit for his kingdom of light. God bless you abundantly, and may these words that you've listened bear good fruit in your spirit and your life and your destiny. I am Elvira, and I thank you for listening.